Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Connor Newt here with you on this Monday morning. And we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Say hello to our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am on day one of the week, and I am ready to go. Let's do it.
Sounds like it. Sounds like you are ready to go. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Corey, did not go well for Tennessee and Arkansas this weekend. They get swept in the Super Regional. So the reigning national champions are reigning no more. Your thoughts on Tennessee, a disappointing weekend in Arkansas, and where Vitello and this program go from here?
Well, I mean, look, it's been how many years? About 20 since they won a series in Arkansas. So, I mean, it doesn't happen often for them. Arkansas is a better team this year. And, you know, you're not going to be loaded every year the way Tennessee was, you know, last year. And so you go and you reload, whether that's in recruiting or through the portal. And, you know, Tennessee will be good next year, I'm guessing. And, you know, will they be good enough? That's what we'll have to see. You know, I mean, Arkansas is a team that is going to – I haven't seen the World Series lines yet, but I would imagine they're one of the two or three favorites to win it all. I would call yesterday's performance disappointing, you know, that you get in a must-win game, you get kind of boat raced like that. And he gave up on one of his premier starters a little early. So you could question that.
May as well get you in on this debate, Corey, on a day that earlier we got to enjoy Robbie screaming at a Vanderbilt fan. I think he might have sang Rocky Top to him.
Did that happen?
As they went back and forth. You got to check this out if you weren't listening, Corey. It's pretty good stuff. I've never seen Robbie more fired up. But the foundation of this argument is the argument. I don't think it's that much of one, but I want to hear your thoughts. Who is the better program right now? Which is the better program right now, Tennessee baseball or Vanderbilt baseball?
Oh, gosh. Well, Tennessee most recently won the national championship. Tennessee went further in the tournament this year. But Vanderbilt's won two titles and been to the final series twice. I mean, they've had a lot of success, but I can't tell you what was the last year they were in the finals.
2021.
And I'm not talking about the College World Series. I'm talking about in the finals because they won two and they lost two.
Yeah, 2021, they made it to the last game. They haven't been to the second weekend of the tournament since then.
Yeah, and Tennessee's been to Omaha how many times since then?
I believe twice since then.
Right. But they've been to the second weekend every single year since then.
Yeah, so I mean, you'd have to put Tennessee ahead of them. I mean, look, I'm not saying it's by a mile, but they've obviously handled the NIL era better to this point. And until Vanderbilt, you know, gets back to Omaha, you probably have to see Tennessee.
We got minicamp coming up, Corey. Cam Ward, a lot of eyeballs going to be on him, obviously. I want to get your thoughts on the Ridley part of this. We talked a lot about Ridley last week. It's taken him some time to get going in each of his last two stops, 2 years ago in Jacksonville, certainly last year here in Tennessee. So what do you make of kind of the challenge for Ward and Ridley to get on the same page there? And as you're looking at the Titans receiving room right now, how important is Ridley given what else is just seemingly not there at the moment?
Well, I mean, Cam said he is one of the top five receivers in the NFL.
He did say that.
One receiver. So,
I think he also may or may not have included Treylon Burks in that same discussion.
Cam is very aware of who he's talking about. And I do appreciate, you know, that about him. Look, you know, Calvin Ridley is a good receiver, capable of very big games. I think, you know, consistency is something that he needs to work on. Gosh, you guys go to camp. I don't think work is an issue for Calvin Ridley. The guy works hard. He's played with a lot of different quarterbacks with, I want to say different levels of success, but he's largely been pretty successful. He's got to be the guy. I mean, he makes the money to be the guy, and, the Titans need him to be the guy. And if he's got a little bit more accuracy out of the quarterback position, maybe he can be the guy. But, like we're talking about, I know there's a lot of excitement about Tyler Lockett. I like Tyler Lockett. He's a pro. He's a pro's pro. But he's on the backside, of his career. There's no question about it. And the rest, I can like Ilaiah Manor, and I can, just like Jim DK, and I can, I can think Bryce Oliver's got a future in the league, and I know some people, you can get excited about Xavier Restrepo, but it's all, even Treylon Burks, it's all unproven. You can't count on any of those guys to put up numbers this year. And you can hope, you can believe, but you can't say for certainty because none of them have done it. So, Ridley has to do it, and he has to, that's the big thing about Brian Callahan talking about leadership and not leading by example, because he needs more. And Calvin Ridley is a perfect example, he and Tony Pollard, of guys who are good players, but he needs more from those guys because, there's some of the guys who can do it, who are capable of it. And so, Calvin Ridley's a good player, and the Titans need more.
So take the quarterbacks, the passing and catching out of it this week, Corey. What's the most interesting thing for you at minicamp? There's a lot to choose from. I can tell by your reaction. It's a smorgasbord.
Are you talking about the quarterback position? What's the most interesting thing, or just the whole team?
No, I'm saying take that out of it, and other than QB stuff.
Until the pads go on, I can't say the offensive line or the pass rush, and how those guys perform. Because, to me, I hate to say the three biggest questions for me are the offensive line, which they've invested heavily in, and has to be better, and if it's not, it's a massive fail. But where is the pass rush going to come from? Because they don't have Arden Key is proven to be a moderately successful pass rusher, and the same goes for Jones, the guy they just brought in. He's a moderately successful pass rusher. Outside of that, they don't have anything with any proven pass rushing capability. And so, that would be it if the pads were going on. But I want to see the young receivers and how they perform. Does one of them stand out? Do two of them stand out? Because you can see that when guys jump off the page at you. I don't remember if you guys were here for this because I'm old and everyone's good. Mark Mariani, the day he walked in the door, we were just like, the guy catches everything. He just catches everything. He gets open and he catches everything. And he wound up being a pretty good player. And so, you get to see those guys, early. And so if those guys are going to help this team, I'd like to say Ilaiah Manor and DK stand out a little bit. And then who else is going to stand out at wide receiver? Is it going to be Burks? Is it going to be Oliver? Is it going to be Restrepo? Is it going to be somebody else?
All right, Corey, last thing for you here. What are the Pittsburgh Steelers with Aaron Rodgers now as their quarterback? What's their ceiling?
I don't know, 10 wins, 9-10 wins, first round of the playoffs. That's about it.
So not much different than it's been, pretty much.
Yeah, they might be a little – look, he's better than Mason Rudolph. There's no question about that. But, guys, he played on a lot of really good teams in Green Bay. He has not been to the Super Bowl since 2011. I was 40 years old, okay? I was still a relatively young person, not sitting on my coffin waiting to die, okay?
I was 19.
I mean, let's not act like he's a difference maker. If he's a difference maker, it's because he's a culture killer. Okay? That's where he's a difference maker. He has not proven to do it in the big moment in a very, very long time. And so why anybody would expect him to do it at age, is he 41?
41.
41. Now, he could be better than last year on a whole because he's 2 years removed from the Achilles, but he hasn't worked out with a team, you know, all spring, has worked out with this team all spring, just kind of, you know, took it off to figure things out. You know, at least he wasn't in Egypt during the mini camp this time. So
progress.
You know, yeah, he's not. I guess his commitment to the team and to the process and to winning, to me, you know, isn't overwhelming at this point. And his success, while he's won a lot of games, you know, he's got one Super Bowl. Has he been to? He's been to two.
He's been to one. He's only been to one.
He's only been to one. Just so far, I've lost one.
Yep.
He doesn't lose Super Bowls. I'm just
saying. That's true.
You get
if he gets there,
the Super
he's
Bowl,
win.
He's not going to lose. That's all I can conclude.
He got to one. So congratulations. But, yeah, I mean, it's been a long time since we call him difference maker, and he is the third best quarterback in his division by a long shot.
I think that's fair. Corey Curtis from News 2 here on the program joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, great stuff, my friend. Thank you for being with us.
Well, I know all these people are rushing to go put their money on the Steelers to win it all.
Yes.
So congratulations on your winning.
I mean, we didn't even have time this week to have you just totally get after the entire city of Jacksonville, which has become basically a weekly tradition here on the program.
You know, we can still do that if you want to make some extra
time. We can. There's no doubt.
Plenty of time for that.
Okay. I know you're going to go, but it's all unproven. Where do you put the Titans and the Jags right now?
Like, oh, man.
Because I was thinking about, like, you know, there's the real chance that Ward is the second best quarterback in the division this year.
It could happen.
Well, it's Trevor Lawrence. Well, you and Trevor Lawrence are the same thing. They're both the first pick of the NFL draft.
It could happen. I mean, I don't – to answer your question, I don't think there's a ton of separation between Jacksonville and Tennessee right now.
No, I don't either. I think it's whichever quarterback plays better.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. Corey, thank you, sir.
All right, later.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what Corey had to say, get back into the Vols' loss against – I almost said South Carolina. They played Arkansas. Vols' loss against Arkansas – over the weekend. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie and Rex Road, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Connor Newt here with you on this Monday morning. Tennessee falls over the weekend in Arkansas. They lose on Saturday 4-3 in a game where they managed only two hits, and then 11-4 the final yesterday. Arkansas at one point in that game, up 10-1, so obviously a very disappointing result and weekend for the Tennessee Volunteers. Corey brought it up last segment, so I looked up the odds. Arkansas is the favorite to win the College World Series now at plus 230 odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Arkansas is at 1, LSU is at 2, Coastal Carolina at 3 as your top three favorites there, Joe.
Don't sleep on the Chanticleers.
Yeah.
I think they've swept like 9 straight series, which
– pretty good.
Yeah, everybody, you know, you think about – well, they're not in a power league. That's a very good program. That's a power program that has been to Omaha before. But, yeah, Arkansas is a good favorite, and Arkansas LSU are going to start it off playing against each other. So.
Yeah. Good stuff on that
SEC, almost as many teams as the Pac-12, which doesn't exist anymore.
Joe, your thoughts on Tennessee this weekend, which was obviously very disappointing. I mean, they just get shelled yesterday by Arkansas. The final score – was not bad on Saturday, but if you watch the performance at the plate, it was pretty brutal. I mean, you end up with two hits in the game. So all in all, a pretty disappointing weekend for Tennessee, not only with the results, obviously, but the performance within those results, not very good.
Yeah, Arkansas is loaded. Obviously, great atmosphere. They were talking about that being the biggest sporting event on that campus since UNLV, Larry Johnson, Stacey Augmon, Jerry Tarkanian came in and played – Oliver Miller, Lee Mayberry, and Todd Day, which was a game I watched every second of, an amazing game.
What was that, 1990?
That was the 1990-91 season, which ultimately ended with UNLV not repeating, not going undefeated. They lost to Duke in the Final Four. Incredible game. Back at the heyday of 40 minutes of hell with Nolan Richardson coaching. But that's saying something. This is the most anticipated. I mean, I can't believe there weren't some football games in there. I know that they've been kind of down with the football
program. I would have to think that there was some point that, like, you know, Darren McFadden was there, that somebody rolled through where there was probably
like,
something.
I seem to remember, like, actually an Arkansas-LSU game when he was there that was insane. But anyway, huge event. The fans showed up. The team showed up. They're loaded. And when it comes down to it, Arkansas's ace, Zach Root, pitched like an ace, and Tennessee's ace, Liam Doyle, didn't.
Yep.
And that, you know, if your ace gives you the one win you count on, Tennessee pushed Doyle back one day, but then – you have to win the game he starts, and instead you get blown out. I think there is a fair question to ask, and I don't know for sure that there's any impact on this, but I think it's a fair question to ask of why Liam Doyle pitched as much as he did in the last game against Wake, coming out of the pen after starting that weekend. And I know they gave him the extra day, but it's still less rest than normal. Right? It's still, you know, because in a regular season in college baseball, you get a full week after your start, and you don't pitch in the bullpen, you know, at all. You have a full week between starts. And in this, you had a day less than that, and it was the day less from a pretty significant, 31-pitch bullpen outing after a start. It's not that it doesn't happen, like what Vitello did was totally out of the norm, but I don't know that he had to do it either. And I don't know that he had to do it that much, and so I don't know. Doyle, you could ask that question. I think it's a fair question to ask. And then also Doyle did down the stretch not. He had some tough outings late in the season, so maybe he was just worn down in general. But I would also say if you see your guy like that struggle a little bit, I don't think I would want him having less rest at this point of the year.
Yeah, it's a fair question to bring up. I mean, I said the other day, the one that probably gets me a little bit is you had a pretty significant lead heading into the ninth inning of that game, and you still brought him out. So,
yeah.
Like, I understand bringing him in, but then when you're up by, I forget how much they were up, but I think it was like 5 or 6 that they were up by heading into the ninth.
You'd have been fine.
You'd probably been okay not having him in there. So, definitely a fair question on that front. You know, Tennessee at different points this year has had their offense really carry them. And obviously, a lot of that, you know, that conversation always comes back to where they play and the ballpark and all that, but you know we've seen it when the lineup's hot, they can hit with the best of them, and they just got totally shut down by Zach Root on Saturday, and then yesterday, I mean the game was 10-1 by like the fourth inning, and you're like, all right, well you're just chasing it at this point, and you knew that they were in trouble. So one of those things that I look at, and Arkansas, I think you just tip the cap to Arkansas and say, you got them. They're a better team than Tennessee this year. And this could end up being Arkansas's year. We did see a very emotional Tony Vitello after the game talking about his friends at Arkansas, which some Tennessee fans have taken note of in the aftermath of that.
What does that mean? Taking note of what? To like, say what?
Does he secretly love that place still?
God.
Is he going to be the future head coach there when Van Horn's done?
Don't worry about it, guys. When is when is Van Horn going to be done?
I have no idea.
He's doing pretty well. Yeah, it's good to see Tony and one of his mentors get along well. But actually, I think it's – wasn't it Mississippi State that's going to hire Tony away?
I've heard a lot of different people, yeah, going to hire him away.
Yeah, I think you're going to keep Tony around, and this program is going to be just fine. You can't get there every year. But at times I thought this team was maybe better than it ended up being. You know, like remember, they started 20-0. They were number one.
Yep.
I think losing all those series, it tells you a little something about their depth, I think, you know. And they have some pitchers who are going to be really good. They obviously lose some guys. You know, Phillips is going to be probably a second-round pick. Obviously, Doyle might be the second or third overall pick in the draft. But, like, a guy like A.J. Russell, you know, hopefully he can stay healthy. And I would think that next year would be really big for them, maybe as their Friday starter.
Or stouter.
He could be stout. What stout with those starts?
Yeah.
A fart.
Well, had some people on YouTube earlier wondering if you were talking about maybe smoking out the umpire behind the plate. Could happen.
Yeah.
At that point.
Imagine, yeah, like insulting and crop dusting him at the same time. Is that ejectable?
More so than what we saw in the Cubs-Tigers game yesterday, for sure. Yeah, obviously, if you're a Tennessee fan, you know, there's a lot of disappointment here. As you brought up earlier, we've seen Tony Vitello attack the transfer portal pretty aggressively. I'm sure that that's coming again. They're going to make some moves in the transfer portal this offseason. They do have really, really good recruiting classes that they've now stacked. So we'll see what that looks like next year. I would expect, you know, by the time May rolls around next year, Joe, we're going to be talking about Vanderbilt being a pretty darn good team, Tennessee being a pretty darn good team, and then what will they do in the postseason? That's going to be what we get back around to, which, frankly, if you're a baseball fan of either one of those schools, that's where you want to be, is where the postseason is what matters, and we'll see how Tennessee responds to that. But can they get back to Arkansas? They have been to the Supers, I think, 5 years in a row now, so that's the longest streak in the country, and we'll see if they've got the squad next year to extend that.
Did you hear that, Vanderbilt fan, Tim? It's the postseason that matters.
I mean, it's the postseason that matters in every sport. I don't know why this one's different.
If you're listening, Tim, I still want to see this flip-off picture that you claim exists. Yeah, look, it stinks. This is the second time since 2018 that one of them hasn't been in Omaha.
Yep.
We're used to College World Series week, and I understand if you're a fan of one or the other, it really sucks if the other one's there and yours isn't. But for our purposes, we're used to one of them at least being there and having that to, you know, to carry us into late June. And unfortunately, just the second time since 2018 that neither of them are there. But next year, both of them will have teams that are capable of doing it. And that's over time, you know, you got to appreciate that you have programs like that in this sport that are rivals that are of that quality.
By the way, Stillies Louisville Cardinals have punched their ticket to the College World
Series. Congrats.
They are plus 1,400 odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook, which I believe comes in seventh on the odds list.
There. Okay. So, yeah, they weren't – I mean, they beat Vanderbilt in the regular season and obviously here in the regional, but not, like, on paper a great team, but they got it done. They had a heck of a game. Yeah, I watched a lot of that game against Miami yesterday. Very good game. And who knows? Maybe it's their year.
We'll see what happens. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Some of your reaction coming up next to Tennessee losing to Arkansas in the Supers over the weekend. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Connor Newt here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Our buddy Johnny on YouTube asking about Pete DeBoer. So, John, I brought this up earlier as a move that took place in the NHL over the weekend that's really interesting. I heard Stilly talk about this on Friday, and he was basically like, well, Pete DeBoer's out there. Pretty fire Andrew Burnett. Go hire Pete DeBoer. So Pete DeBoer, for those who missed it, got fired. He was the head coach of the Dallas Stars. And we talked about it at the time in the Western Conference Final, Joe, of he pulls his goalie, Jake Oettinger, in Game 5. After basically, I think it was 2 goals and 2 shots, pulls him and then just rips him in the media after him. Was basically like, yeah, well, you know, Oettinger's kind of been awful against Edmonton. And the post-game comments, just the way that entire situation was handled, I thought to myself, like, that's the type of thing that gets a coach fired, which I think is what we talked about that day. DeBoer has been to 3 consecutive conference finals with Dallas. They have been unable to punch their ticket and get through the Stanley Cup final during his time. I believe, on the whole, when you think about San Jose, Vegas, and Dallas, I think he's been to like 6 of the last 7 conference finals in the West. So, obviously, a very good coach, but a coach kind of similar to Peter Laviolette that has some pretty good early success and then wears out his welcome pretty quickly. So, the Dallas Stars fire him on Friday, and he is now out there and available. Now, let me start on this. I don't think the Predators are going to make any move here. Like, I understand that he was not available when they made the decision to bring Andrew Burnett back. I've got a tough time of reading, you know, the tea leaves here and coming to the conclusion that Barry Trotz says, oh, Andrew Burnett's coming back. I believe in Andrew Burnett as our young head coach. He's going to figure it out, and then pulls the plug like a month later when he finds out that Pete DeVore is available. That's just me. I could be wrong. I am interested to see where he goes here. But, John, I don't know that I've ever seen a coach firing in the NHL exactly like this one, where it feels like so much is going right for you, and then you just basically melt down and totally attack your goalie after a game, and it ends up costing you your job. Apparently, the exit meetings with the players, they were like, yeah, screw this guy. Get him out, which is what they did.
Yeah, it's wild. But I think it also speaks to maybe why you should be hesitant to hire Peter DeBoer. Look, his record is what it is. Like you said,
good coach?
Yeah. But you know, look, when he was with San Jose, we all remember when he beat the Preds in the second round in 2016, that brutal Game 7 in San Jose. You know, they had a hell of a team, and then they started to go down a little bit, and he gets fired early in the 2019-20 season. Vegas, surprisingly good team, right? Conference finals, 2 years in a row, missed the playoffs, gets fired. And Dallas is like that's a very, very good team. I'm not taking credit away from him, but has he done more with less? Has Peter DeBoer done more with less as a coach in this league?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, it's – that Dallas roster is loaded.
Yeah.
It's loaded.
It's a tremendous team. Again, I'm not saying he doesn't do a good job, but I think we get a little caught up, some more than others, in, you know, trying to give a coach too much credit or blame, I think in this league in particular. I think that happens, you know, a lot. So, I just – to me, it's – laughable to think about. You've made this decision however you came to it. Clearly it was not just a snap your fingers decision, but you came to it.
Yep.
You set your course. This is what's happening. The idea that you're going to bring Peter DeBoer in here and all of a sudden it's going to be like, oh my goodness, this team's incredible. I have my doubts. Now, you could have made the case to move on from Andrew Brunette.
For sure. Yeah.
And we talked about
that. Many people did make that case.
Yeah. And that's fine. But I just – the idea that this is some pixie dust, if you throw Peter DeBoer in here, I think is questionable. And look, I also think that not just the Dallas Stars and the guys in the exit interviews, I think when you do what he just did publicly, there's a lot of guys around this league like, man, get that guy out of my room. I don't want to play with that guy. If he's going to throw me under the bus like that, I think he hurt himself.
I agree.
Long term with that.
Especially with goalies. Like he's traditionally been a guy that's been pretty hard on the goalies part of it. I mean, he's going to end up somewhere. Like we see coaches around the league all the time. And I don't know at this point. I mean, it's June. There are some openings still out there, so maybe he ends up with another team this offseason. My guess is he's going to end up with a team. You know, there's always a team or two, Joe. I mean, who knows? Maybe it ends up being the Predators. I don't know. That fires their head coach in like November. I mean, we saw St. Louis just do that and pick up a coach. I kind of feel like that might happen where he's kind of sitting there for a little while and then he's able to maybe pick a destination that is an underperforming team that has some talent to it at that point.
But what he's done a good job of, and I know it's not like coaches just dictate everything, but for the most part, like he has coached good teams.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he got, you know, his first break he got was with Florida way back, and 3 years didn't make the playoffs. Okay. Goes to the Devils, you get that insane Kings run with Jonathan Quick in 12.
Yep.
And then from there you go miss playoffs, then early in the next year you're fired. But since then, he has just coached really good teams. So how much credit does he get for that? I think he's making some good choices in terms of jobs he's taking. But I will say though, Robbie, you know, one thing that does sort of tie him to the Preds. I mean, do you know who he played for as a player?
I don't.
The only, you know, he was like way, you know, the 237th pick of the Leafs in 88. But his one team at the highest level he played for, the Milwaukee Admirals.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Peter DeBoer, Milwaukee Admirals
legend.
So I'm just saying, we do care a lot about the Milwaukee Admirals. And, you know, in 1990-91, he had 27 goals, 61 points in 82 games.
Really?
He did.
Wow.
And then he decided, even with that he was done playing. But I'm just saying.
The more you know.
Yeah, exactly. Milwaukee Admirals, we care about them. Sometimes I think more than we care about the Preds. So sometimes. Maybe that should be taken into account.
Maybe so. Good stuff on that. Good. That's capital J journalism work by Joe Rexroad here on the program.
Thank you.
We brought up the Stanley Cup Final. That thing's evened up at one. It has been awesome so far between Florida and Edmonton. You've got overtime games in both games one and two, double overtime in game number two where Florida wins, a goal by Brad Marchand. Game three coming up tonight in Florida. Joe, I mean, it feels like this one's going seven. You can have a great series and it still goes six. We'll see what happens there. But it has lived up to every bit of the billing so far between Edmonton and Florida through two games. I'm very much excited for game three.
We've been talking about NBA, NHL, ratings, you know, postseason, regular season, all this stuff. If you are someone who's on the fence about liking hockey, I'd like you to just watch this series. And maybe you still don't like it, and if that's the case, it's not your thing. But this is the type of series that, to me, if you're like a casual sports fan, you're just not, or a casual whatever, observer, not really that familiar with hockey, and you watch these games, I don't know how you couldn't be – I don't know how you couldn't find it compelling, because it's, to me, it's nonstop action. It's really good, and it's like you watch these teams play, and it's like, oh, yeah, this was always going to be the final, wasn't it? Even though I didn't know that all year. I sure didn't.
I mean, I said it earlier, you know, the final for the Stanley Cup is always intense, right? Like we know it's the hardest trophy in sports to win. I mean, it's a grueling playoffs that you have to get through. The intensity level is always there. It's not always the greatest hockey. Like, it's not always like, wow, these two teams are just head and shoulders above everybody else and their execution's off the charts. Sometimes it is. This, I mean, through two games, it's been pretty darn good hockey from both sides. Like, Florida has had their moments where they've looked unbelievable. Edmonton, obviously led by McDavid and Draisaitl, have had their moments where there's nothing you can do with them. You just can't stop them. And we get seven games of that. I'll sign up for that. That'll be good.
Yeah, it would be a shame. It would be a shame if it doesn't go seven. I'm almost like it'd be a shame if it doesn't go seven and it's like four all going into overtime of game seven. That's what I'm envisioning. That's what I'm expecting, hoping for.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We've got one more segment coming up next before we wrap it up for the day. I got some of your thoughts to get to as well. We will do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I got people in the YouTube chat, Joe, saying that they agree. DeBoer has not done more with less. If anything, he's done less with more. Predemption on the YouTube chat saying, in the clutch, he comes up short. He's taken Jersey to the Cup Final, San Jose to multiple Western Conference Finals, Vegas to multiple Western Conference Finals, and Dallas. And he just can't get over the hump. So they do not want Pete DeBoer, according to the YouTube chat.
Yeah. Again, he'll get hired. I'm not saying he shouldn't be hired. I don't think he helped himself with what he did. I don't think he helped himself with future rosters, with future players, with what he did with Ottinger. I mean, I talk about taboo in this league. That's the thing about it.
Yeah.
You know, they talk ripping about players happen sometimes, but a goalie.
Oh, my gosh. A goalie got criticized.
It's refreshing in a way.
Yeah.
Because it never happens, but yeah, I think there's just something there where, I'm not saying he's not a passenger. He's obviously a good coach, but his results, if you don't have the proper context around his results, just like a coach who coaches bad rosters or lesser rosters and doesn't do anything special with them. Okay, let's switch spots, you know? Let's give Peter DeBoer the Preds of the last few years.
Probably not going well. Maybe better.
Might be better. Yeah, I mean, certainly his track record compared to
Andy Burnett.
He's
a good coach. Yeah, he's a good coach. Like, you know, you don't get to Western Conference Finals and Eastern Conference Finals and Stanley Cup Finals like on accident. Like, you've got to have some baseline of knowing what you're doing there.
Yep, and there's consistency there. Right. And it's not like, even though you said Dallas – do they have a loaded roster? Yes. Does that mean they're like totally preordained? They're well head and shoulders above everybody else?
No.
And he got them to three straight conference finals. That is something. He's a good coach.
We'll see where it goes. from there.
He's not going to be the Nashville Predators coach.
The NHL draft coming later this month. We talked about that a little bit last week, and the possibility of James Hagans sliding to number 5 for the Predators. So more conversations on that this weekend. Brady Martin, who's a draft prospect, centerman, is gaining some noise. Apparently there's some interest from Utah in him. He had dinner with the Predators as well. So you're going to hear a lot. It's kind of like – it's similar to the NFL draft in this way. You're going to start hearing, like, specific teams be connected to specific guys a lot over the next couple of weeks here. And then it gets into the process of, all right, well, how much of that is real and how much of that is maybe just some finagling behind the scenes to see if you can position yourself to make some moves. And we'll see if Barry Trotz gets himself involved in that. I don't know. We'll find out.
Barry Trotz, who is he out having dinner with? Yeah, a little misinformation maybe.
Remember when people were like trying to track John Gruden? And like one day it was like groomers? the groomers on Vol Twitter was like, hey, John Gruden and Peyton Manning are out at the Calhouns over here on the Riverside by Neyland. It's like, really, are they? They're over at the Calhouns, huh?
Just hanging out.
There's no picture of them. Nobody in the restaurant found a picture of them, but Gruden and Peyton Manning over there.
Everybody's phones kept malfunctioning. Dang it, I'm trying this to do work. This. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I kind of miss the groomers.
I do too. Well, they may be starting up again.
He's launched a media empire now.
He's kind of getting back into the public eye.
I mean, he got Ryan Williams last week to basically just start talking trash about Vanderbilt all the time.
That's right. That's right. No, I used to really enjoy actually the QB, whatever you called it.
Yeah, QB camp. Gruden's QB camp.
Yeah, with the guys coming out when he did that for ESPN. Kind of miss that.
He does it now at Barstool.
Does he? Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess I'll try to check it out.
See if you can check that out.
If I can get past Dave Portnoy, whatever the hell he's talking about.
He doesn't like bald people, by the way.
Yeah. I've noticed
Dave
that.
Dave Portnoy doesn't?
Nope.
Oh, yeah. No, he wouldn't like me then. Be in big trouble.
You got a hat on. You'll be fine.
That's true. That's true. The NBA Finals, game 2 last night. Tied up at 1 in that series. Oklahoma City just destroys the Pacers last night. So, game 1 was really good. I think last night, if you've watched the Thunder this year, a pretty predictable response. Like, usually when they get beat, they come out the next game and just totally smack whoever they're playing next. So, that's what the Thunder did. We'll see what that means for Indiana in game 3. I'm still hopeful that this can be a long, good series. I think Oklahoma City is still clearly the better team. But, Joe, this is what Indiana's done throughout the entire postseason. They have these moments where Halliburton comes up huge. He makes clutch shots. They win games. Even in the Knicks series, they get blasted by the Knicks a couple times. Can they hang around in game 3 and get a win in one of these two at home to extend this thing out? Or has Oklahoma City figured some things out and they're just going to roll in Indiana and win both games and it'll be 3-1 coming back? I don't know. I'm interested to see how the way that goes. But it's tough to figure out Indiana in these situations because just when you think that the other team has figured them out, they have responded all postseason.
Yeah, I don't think Indiana is better than Cleveland if Cleveland's healthy. I don't think Indiana is better than Boston if Boston's healthy. I know they didn't play. I'm just saying. I keep doubting them. I mean, beating the Knicks, that's great. But, I mean, the Knicks are also kind of a meh team, frankly, in my opinion. And I've watched a lot of these two games, and it's like, yeah, this is just going to be OKC in 5, though. They stole one. But I've also constantly sold Indiana short. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that they can get one of these games at home and we can have some semblance of a series. I don't think there's any question Oklahoma City's a better team.
I would agree. And we talked about last week, like the numbers would suggest they're like one of the greatest defensive teams in this era. Like it's really impressive, the defense that they play. I think you saw that last night. I know Halliburton got some points in garbage time basically when the game was over last night, but it was – for about 3 quarters, a defensive clinic by the Thunder last night.
Yeah, Halliburton is they're turning him over some. They're bothering the heck out of him, and then I think he's got to look for a shot more earlier in the game.
I would agree.
And, look, they just – last night, Indiana just had a hard time getting into anything. You know, there's a montage of stuff going on behind you right now on ESPN. It's like they could not – Oklahoma City is like a step ahead of every pass that they – decide they want to make. It's pretty incredible to watch. Again, not for the entirety of the game, and obviously Indiana dominated the end of the fourth quarter in game 1, but when they turn their defense on, it's something else.
Have you sensed a general lack of excitement about this NBA Finals? Has it been noticeable to you at all, or are we too early to tell yet?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the ratings aren't going to be great. They're not going to compare well to some of the – because, look, like – and, again, I don't – the market thing to me is so weird. I don't know why people – like, do people – again, you have more people in markets, so that will dictate the numbers. But why are people saying, I don't want to watch this because of the markets? Like, what? Like,
yeah, I don't.
Like, the ratings may – that may be part of the ratings, but why does that matter to you? I don't – it's actually one of the dumbest things I've ever heard, frankly. But the star power is not, you know, Halliburton is a great player, but he's not that fun to watch. SGA, I think people, if you watch him play, first of all, he has 72 points, by the way, in two games. No one's ever done that in the NBA Finals, not your beloved Michael Jordan or whoever else you want to throw at me. But seriously, like, no one has ever scored 72 points in the first two games of the NBA Finals. SGA just did it. I think people should probably wake up to the fact that he's pretty freaking great. But people also get bothered because he's Mr., you know, get touched and you jerk your head back, and he's very
crafty. He does flop every now and then.
He flops and draws fouls like Jalen Brunson. He also is a mid-range shooter, which is really interesting too. Because in today's, when all I hear about is how all they do is jack up threes, my God, if you like the mid-range game, go watch SGA. That's all he does is a step-back middie.
It's a lost art in today's game. Yeah. I kind of appreciate it.
I do too. I mean, I've enjoyed, you know, look, I enjoy that team, and I hope this series is good. But, yeah, if, like, the whole discourse today, like with Adam calling in, I mean, if you hate the NBA now, hate it. Don't watch it. But I don't think you like basketball. I'm sorry.
Did you see the zebra get airlifted out of here yesterday? Did you see the footage?
No, I didn't see the footage, but I know that we've been closely tracking that story in the household. So, glad they got the zebra. The zebra's okay.
The question I would have, I don't know if you saw, for those of you who saw the footage, like, they airlifted him out of there, which is fine. But, the little contraption that he was in, it's just spinning as the helicopter's flying. So he's just spinning in circles as the helicopter's flying around. It's probably freaking out.
Holy cow.
Like, we couldn't get that thing to stabilize a little bit, just keep him straight, moving the same direction the whole time.
Dizzy
it
zebra.
Looked terrifying. Yeah.
I feel bad for the zebra.
Glad they
probably
got him.
Got sick.
It's a big story around here.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, there
national news.
People were seeing the zebra everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, the zebra.
Wow, the zebra made it to Chattanooga.
Wait, he's on three different rooftops just today in Broadway.
It's unbelievable. The ground this guy's covering. That does it for us today here on the program. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their Monday. Happy birthday, Heather Stanley. Hope it's a great one.
Happy
Jason
birthday,
and Joe
Heather.
Coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.